Hello, you are listening to The White Side. I'm your host, Rachel Pendergraft. Welcome to the show. Hello, and welcome to another edition of The White Side. I am your host, Rachel Pendergraft, and this past year we have seen the removal of the Confederate flag at state capitol buildings. We have seen the removal of Confederate monuments, and we have seen the names of Confederate avenues and boulevards and highways changed to things such as Martin Luther King Highway or Boulevard. So a rush and flurry of the desecration, removal of Southern monuments, basically anything that may remind us of our white history. In years past, we have also seen the removal or changing of names from, in the Florida, they changed the name of Nathan Bedford Forrest High School to, I forget what they changed it to, I believe it was some black guy. Changing the names of schools from George Washington or Thomas Jefferson to other names, anything to remove the vestige of white history in this country. And they are often renaming it or changing it to things that are actually representative of opposition to white history, the white establishment, the white foundation of this country. Well, Baltimore is perhaps going to take it to a new low. A Baltimore Sun had a editorial January 19th titled "Take the Statues Down." They want to take down the statues of Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee. They say, what the recommendation of a commission tasked by Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake, a black woman, to review Baltimore's Confederacy-related memorials amounts to an evaluation of whether these statues on public land reflect who we are as a city. They say the Confederate Soldiers and Sailors Monument on Mount Royal Avenue and the Confederate Women's Monument on West University Parkway can, with the addition of some well-chosen signage. They say, we're not worried that removing the two monuments will erase the complicated history of Baltimore's role in the Civil War. We're worried that it will erase the embarrassing fact that so many for so long have practiced denial about the entirety of what the Confederacy stood for. So they say Baltimore is seeking out new art that reflects who we are today. And so here is a suggestion of just exactly what this type of new art is that they would like to see built in the city of Baltimore. Well, they are suggesting, and many people are backing this plan. The mayor says that she thinks it's a good idea. They are considering erecting a monument to the transgender or drag queen, I guess you could call him, her, whatever, a drag queen called Divine, who made a movie in 1972 called The Pink Flamingos. They say there will be pilgrimages to see this, said Michael Makarovich. He's the owner of Hamden Junk Square store. He's spearheading the effort and has appeared on behalf of Baltimore's Public Art Commission. He says, we think there will be an international fan base. Now, the proposed marble and concrete monument will be roughly 8 feet tall, 3 feet wide. It will consist of an arch perched atop two classically Baltimore marble steps. A photo of Divine in full drag queen makeup will stare out from the space under the arch with a small bronze representation of the doggy do he scooped up and ate. That's what I said. Scooped up and ate dog poop at the end of Pink Flamingos. The film pink flamingos was the vision of John Waters. And businessman Neil Four of the Hair Studio and Day Spa says, I think it would be great. Anything to highlight Baltimore is good, so why not? Ray Krungreiger, whose Robert's Key service has been a fixture in the neighborhood since 1964, said, I love the idea. John Waters and Divine and all, I knew them well. The mayor thinks that the idea sounds divine, said a spokesman for the mayor, Howard Libet. He says that he looks forward to seeing more details on the proposal. And the cost, estimated cost of this would be roughly $50,000 to $100,000. Now, let me just read you a little bit about this film, The Pink Flamingos, a little bit about the plot line that Baltimore wants to erect a monument to. So, the movie, as I said, was produced in 1972, and it's about the underground criminal Divine, a drag queen who goes by the name of Babs Johnson. And he has a mentally ill mother named Edie, a delinquent son named Crackers, and a traveling companion named Cotton. And they all live together in a pink trailer outside of Phoenix, Maryland, where they have plastic pink flamingos in the yard. And they find that rivals, Connie and Raymond Marble, have been named the filthiest people alive by a tabloid newspaper. And so this makes the Babs Johnson, the drag queen, very jealous. His arch rival has an adoption clinic, which is a black market baby ring. They kidnap young women. They have them impregnated by their manservant, and then they sell the babies to lesbian couples. They then use the money from the proceeds from selling these babies to lesbian couples to sell heroin in the inner city elementary schools. Some of the scenes include their arch enemy Raymond, who gets money by exposing himself. He has sausages tied to his man parts. He then exposes himself to women in the park who get frightened and run off, and then they steal their purses. They send a spy named Cookie in the guise of what Babs Johnson's son Crackers thinks is a date. The two of them have sex while crushing a live chicken between them. Little bit more about the plot. They send a box of human feces to Divine, the drag queen, Babs Johnson, as a birthday present, dressing a card to her, him, whatever, as fatso, and proclaiming themselves the filthiest people alive. Of course, this makes them very upset, so he decides he's going to try to be the filthiest person alive. He receives an assortment of gifts, lye shampoo, a pig's head, an axe. Later, they witness a topless dancing woman who dances with a snake, and then a contortionist who flexes his prolapsed, if I can say this, anus in rhythm to the song Surfing Bird. Let's see, they have a party. They decide to go kill the cops who have come to break up the party. Babs hacks up their bodies with an axe, and then all the people at the party eat the dismembered, chopped up pieces of the cops. After the party ends, they go over to their arch rival's house, where they sit and gossip and decide to lick all the furniture in the house to spread their filthiness around, which gets them excited. So then they have oral sex with each other. This is a family having oral sex with each other. Then they go and free the two captive women in the basement, the one that's been forced to have babies for lesbians, and then the one who was forcing them to have babies, well, they cut off his manhood. And then their arch rivals burn the trailer to the ground. Babs Johnson holds a kangaroo court, asks for testimony. They sentence their arch rivals, bound and gagged. They have a reporter comes out to watch them kill these two. They tar and feather them, shoot them in the head. Then they decide to relocate to Boise, Idaho, which is the site of a homosexual scandal. At the end of the movie, this is the big movie. This is what they want to have, the monument with the picture of Divine, the drag queen, eating a piece of poop. Is at the end of the movie. Divine is walking down the street, spots a dog and its owner, looks at the dog excitedly. The dog poops on the ground, and then Divine sits down next to it, takes the dog poop in its, hers, his, whatever hand, puts it in her mouth, and then proves that not only is she the filthiest person in the world, but also the world's filthiest actress. He gags twice and then grins at the camera. So, this is the type of trash that they want to replace our southern monuments with. A anus-eating, poop-eating, cannibalistic, rape scenes, disgusting drag queen movie producer and a drag queen monument. This is what they want to replace our southern monuments with the replace Robert E. Lee, a Christian gentleman, a dynamic leader, Stonewall Jackson. They want to replace these people, the Women's Confederate Monument. They want to take these things down and replace them with a dog feces eating homosexual faggot. This is absolutely absurd. Nowhere on any national media have I seen any outcry. No one is talking about the desecration of our family values. No one is talking about how this is going to affect and harm the children of Baltimore, let alone the taxpayers who will most likely in the end up paying for this, because even though it's an art council that's going to try to raise the money for it, they're a non-profit. So in the end, it's going to come out of taxpayers' money in order to put up this faggot monument of a feces-eating drag queen. It's been released, it was released, the 25th anniversary of it was released a few years ago, and it's received a cult following. So now the people in Baltimore may end up having a poop-eating transvestite drag queen monument in their city. Oh, how can I make this stuff up, people? This is absolutely disgusting and just shows how low our country has fallen. Well, let's switch. Well, real quick, I did have one thing I noticed here. I got my house insurance declaration in the mail a few days ago. And there was a few things on there when I actually started looking at it, which I kind of thought was kind of odd. I do not need any type of coverage for these things, but it kind of boggled my mind to think that some people may need insurance. But insurance that a person could get, well, it includes a mold, property, special provisions for property, liability, personal liability, hazardous substance exclusion, but also sexual molestation, punishment, physical, mental abuse, I don't need an exclusion from that. I don't have any need to be, have insurance for sexual molestation. I thought that was kind of odd that people might need that type of insurance. Maybe that's if they're running a daycare or something like that. But just to think that anyone would even need that type of insurance, I thought was kind of odd and disturbing. Anyway, back to the last story I was going to talk about is an excellent piece by Pat Buchanan just a couple of days ago. He was speaking about the World Economic Forum, and the keynote speaker was Joe Biden. Well, Joe Biden said and warned the global elites that he was speaking to. He warned them that there was fertile terrain for reactionary politicians, demagogues, peddling xenophobia, anti-immigration, nationalist, and isolationist views. Oh my goodness, we couldn't have anything like that, could we? Anti-immigration, nationalist, and isolationist views? How terrible if anyone has that. He said America and Europe has provided fertile terrain for reactionary politicians. And he is, you know, pointing his finger at people like Donald Trump. But is Donald Trump really responsible for the rise of anger in this country? Is it Donald Trump that is raising a fever pitch over the immigration issues in this country? Is it Donald Trump that is somehow causing alarm? Is it Donald Trump that is making people aware of these issues? Or is it, in fact, these issues are very important to middle-class white Americans, and because Donald Trump is speaking about them, well, then they are interested in what he has to say. Buchanan mentioned Sam Francis, who was a conservative. He calls him a proud son of the South. He was an essayist. He said, sooner or later, Francis said in Chronicles magazine in 1996, he said, sooner or later, as the globalist elites seek to drag the country into conflicts and global commitments, presiding over the economic pasteurization of the United States, manage the destruction of our own culture and the dispossession of our people, and disregard or diminish our national interest and national sovereignty, a nationalist reaction is almost inevitable and will probably assume populist form when it arrives. The sooner it comes, the better. And of course, that's exactly what we see happening today. Trump is, of course, the National Review, a neocon magazine, came out last week in a headlining attack. They took up the whole cover of their magazine, an attack against Donald Trump because he is espousing the sentiments of a huge cross section of white people in this country. Buchanan goes on to say, he says, the bleeding of factories and manufacturing jobs abroad has produced the demoralization and decline of our middle class, along with the wage stagnation and shrinking participation in the labor force. And he asks, is Trump responsible for that? And of course, he's not responsible for that. It is what has been happening under the Republican and Democratic parties, who have both allowed mass immigration into our country, who have allowed outsourcing. It was under Bill Clinton that the free trade bill with China was passed. Of course, it was Bob Dole with the Republican Party that fought for the implementation of the Martin Luther King holiday. Buchanan goes on to say, religious, racial, cultural diversity has put an end to the so-called bad old America we grew up in as we evolve into the universal nation. They believe a new America and new Europe, where all nations are multiracial, multiethnic, multicultural, and multilingual, is the future of the West and the model for mankind. Well, what is a model for is national suicide. It's a model for the destruction of white people. It's the model for the end of Western Christian civilization. It's a model for the end of white people. And that is why we continually say that white genocide is on the horizon. Now, do I actually think that we will see white genocide? I, as a devout Christian, no, I do not think white genocide, the destruction and ultimate total dismantling and extinction of white people, will exist. However, is that their plan? Absolutely. It is the plan of global elites and those non-whites who believe that the white race is somehow the cancer of mankind, as photographer Susan Sontag said, white people are the earth's cancer. Well, that, of course, is absurd. It's moronic. It's a bold-faced lie. The white race, nobody's claiming that the white race is perfect. However, the white people have brought education and medicine and science and a plethora of benefits not only to our own people, but also to those non-white people around the world. I believe that the white race is the greatest resource of the world. And when they attempt to get rid of the white race, what they are doing is destroying civilization as a whole. They don't care about that. They only want to see the white race end. And those global elitists out there in international finance, they think somehow that they are going to be able to escape this plan that is part of their program. They believe that somehow they will rise above, and as long as they have a worldwide working class, monotonous, bilingual, multiracial conglomerate of people to do their bidding, they really don't care. They're in it for the money. They understand that Western Christian civilization, with our family dynamics, our family foundation, our ideas of free enterprise, of free association, self-government, they understand that those concepts born out of the white race is a detriment and poses a roadblock to their plans of worldwide government and domination over mankind. They understand that Western Christian civilization is the roadblock to their plans. And so they would like nothing better than to eradicate the white race. But as Pat Buchanan said, and as Sam Francis stated years ago, these things are only going to cause nationalist politics to become in vogue. And we see this with Donald Trump. We see this with the rise of populism once again. We see this with the rise of white people throughout the country, whether it is with the Tea Party, whether it's with libertarians who don't like government overreach, whether it's with the Christian right who understands the devaluing and eradication of our moral base, a huge different number of people from many different backgrounds and political persuasions, they all recognize at the core is the destruction of the white race. They all don't pinpoint exactly who is the culprit. They all don't put their finger on exactly who behind the scenes is pulling the strings. But we understand that as a white Christian people, that ultimately this is a plan against Christ. This is a plan against God's children. This is a plan against those people who have caused Christianity to flourish, who have taken Christianity around the world, who have established Christian nations. And of course, the United States was the first ever planned white Christian nations. I understand that many nations in Europe were white and Christian, but they were white and Christian by default. The United States was planned and organized by its very laws and nature as a white Christian nation. It wasn't just an organic process. It was planned, deliberately planned, as a white Christian nation. And so the sovereignty of our nation is undermined. Our Constitution is ridiculed, and more people want to see it altered or abolished. This makes white people angry. This makes white people upset, and it causes them to look for leadership Right now, they are looking for Donald Trump. As I said in a recent article I wrote for the Crusader newspaper, do I think that Donald Trump is somehow the savior? Is he the man that's going to bring a solution to all of our problems? No, I do not. He is a symptom of the aggravation and anger that white Christian people nationwide have. They are sick and tired of our open borders. They are sick and tired and angry of the assault upon our morals, upon our families, upon our middle class people, upon our work ethic, upon our free enterprise system. They are sick and angered at this. And so they are looking to that person who right now is Donald Trump. And after Donald Trump, there will be others come along. That's why here at the Christian Revival Center at White Pride Radio, we work with the Knights Party. We work with many fine, dedicated men and women throughout the country. Our one of the most recent projects that has begun here in the Harrison area is the building of the White Christian Research and Development Center with a video and sound studio, library, classrooms. It is our full intent. We have been planning and have had a vision for close to 40 years with the building of our campus here, conference centers, offices, and so forth, to be able to train young men and young women as missionaries to white people to help support and implement pockets of resistance throughout America. Pockets of resistance where white Christian families will be able to gather in community, gather to share thoughts and ideals, and they will need leadership in the years to come. And it is our goal and vision. It's not just something we dreamed up yesterday. It's been our goal and vision for years to begin a fine establishment and school in which we can train these young men and young women, the people of the future, that we will be able to lead our people in these pockets of resistance. Because unlike those who say there's going to be a new America, a new Europe, and that new America and new Europe is going to consist wholly of non-white people, of degenerate homosexuals, of people who have no regard for our Christian historic values and faith. No, my friends, balkanization is going to happen, but we are not lost yet. We have a mighty God on our side. We have Jesus Christ, who we are on His side. We understand that we have a national duty to call our people to repentance. These things that are happening to our people is merely judgment upon our land because our people have refused to have compassion on their own. They have compassion, misdirected compassion, to the non-white peoples of the earth. And now those non-white people are invading our land out of judgment. This is going to turn our people back to remembrance of their own kind, back to a love for their faith, back to a love for their families, back to a love for their racial heritage. And with that love and with that compassion redirected to our own people under the heavy-handed oppression of our enemies and the invasion of the non-white peoples of the world, we will need new inspired leadership, and it is our goal, our vision, and our strategic long-term plan with this school to provide that leadership in the very hour that our people will need it most. As Pat Buchanan, as Sam Francis says, people are going to need leadership. They will be looking for leadership, and we will give that leadership to them. Well, we are all out of time for this week. I just want to thank you for listening. My heart goes out to those good white Christian people in Baltimore who is going to have their city most likely disgraced by this faggot monument that they want to erect there in their city, in the city where they want to take down and remove the southern monuments of our white heritage. replace it with a faggot monument. My heart goes out to the good white Christian people in that area. But again, this is just one more example of the judgment that is upon our people. Pastor Rob spoke a very good message recently. He reminded us that the reason we have the darkness in our land now is because we have removed the light. Darkness cannot envelop our land. Darkness cannot invade our land when there is light. Our people have lost their light. They have lost their way. They have lost their hope. And they have lost a love for their people. That love will return. That compassion will return. And they will be given a new direction, a new hope, and guidance for the future. There will be a new America, and that new America will be a white Christian America. We will end the destruction. We will end the oppression, not under our might, but through the almighty power of Jesus Christ, working in the hearts and minds of good, white, racially conscious men, women, and families throughout America. Until next week, thank you for listening. God bless, and remember, if you are not on the white side, you are on the wrong side.